The word diversity scares some people. They'd rather spend time with those of like mind than embrace those they consider different. In the body of Christ, there is great diversity, and the mature Christian enjoys the gifts of every member of the body, since each believer has a unique contribution to make to the growth of Christ's kingdom on earth. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue our series on Finding Where You Fit. Dr. Lutzer is speaking on Finding Your Place, helping us realize that the body of Christ has a lot of variety.
You see, what God wants us to do is to understand there is diversity. Accept it and enjoy it and delight in the fact that we have some people in this church who are very, very different. There's unity, there's diversity, and thirdly, there is interdependence. Look at it, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And Paul then goes on to say, it is truer, as I mentioned, that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members that we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and they actually become very, very important. And so he goes on in verse 25 that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And if one of the members suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one of the members is honored, all the members rejoice with it, because there is this interrelatedness within the body of Jesus Christ. Here in Chicago, there used to be a law school, I don't know if it still is in existence, called the Kent Law School. And I'm told that there were two students who met almost on the first day of class, and they became fast friends and graduated together. One was a man without any arms, but he had good eyes, and another was a blind man. And the blind man would carry the books in accordance with the instructions and the guidance with the man who had no arms. And then in the evening when they studied, the man without the arms would read, of course, to the man who was blind, and that's the way they got through law school together. And it's a wonderful story that even though both of them were physically challenged, they made up for their own weaknesses by compensating by someone else coming to the rescue to help them. Now that's what is called interdependence. And I'm here today to try to exalt with all that is within me and to the best of my ability, to exalt those works in the church and those gifts upon which we generally bestow less honor because they are invisible, but God honors them, and what we need to do is to think of creative ways in which to honor them as well. Let's take, for example, the maintenance people here at the church. Usually don't see many of them. Usually you see them when there's some kind of a tragedy that has happened or some kind of a need. But how long could we operate without the maintenance crew here at the church? Not very long. How long could we operate without the nursery workers, without the ushers, without the parking attendants, without the Sunday school teachers, without the social committee that prepares those lovely meals that we have? How long could we operate without these ministries, which are often done in those areas where there is less visibility? Don't you dare tell me that they are less necessary. There's a terrible equation sometimes in our minds. Visibility, important. No visibility, less importance. God says, no, they are all necessary to the working of the body, interdependent one upon another. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is simply this, my friend. Today, you are a cell in the body. You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ if you have believed in Christ. And you impact the entire body for good or for ill. You impact it. I'm not sure if it's true that a bee flying in Bolivia impacts the air currents in the United States. But I am sure of this, that your spiritual life impacts the Moody Church. No matter how remotely you may be involved in our ministries, no matter how distantly and independently you think you might be, every cell in my body either contributes to what's happening or else becomes a drag on the body and what is happening, because there's no such thing as a cell making it on its own. It receives the life from the body, the sustenance from the body, its interdependence on the body, and if it becomes a parasite, and it lives off the body but doesn't contribute to the body, then it becomes a drag to the body. Now, I don't mean to say... Now, there's some people who are going through times of hurting. There are some people who, for whatever reason, are unable to serve. I'm not talking about them when I use that word, parasites. I think of that man that I met in Florida who so tenderly looked after his wife who had Alzheimer's disease, and how, even though she couldn't serve him, how he served her. And therefore, there are people within the body who give us opportunities to serve, and they are not harming the body, they are benefiting the body. But there are some people who, through their criticism, through their angry spirit, through their independent, unbroken spirit and heart, they become a weight to the body rather than a blessing to the body. And we must bear them, yes, because the body must function. But whether you're a hindrance or a help depends on the kind of cell you are within the body of Jesus Christ. Notice Paul says that we should have the same care for the body. Last part of verse 25. I guess what he means is the same care that our physical bodies have. Have you ever slipped on ice? You slip on ice and your hands will go out and they'll absorb the blow, and they won't even think about it. They'll just do it like that. I've slipped on ice and my hands didn't say, "Well, you know, we don't want to get hit. Let's just go to the back and just let him fall on his face and his chest." My hands have not done that. When I slip, they don't even pray about it. They don't say, "Now, what shall we do? Let's think about it." Instantly they are there, and they will be willing to absorb the blow. The wrist will be broken, the fingers will be broken, the arm will be smashed, but we've got to do everything to protect the head and the heart, and we'll do it. That's the body of Jesus Christ functioning the way in which God intended it to function. You find somebody who is hurting. Paul says, verse 26, if one of the members suffer, all the members suffer with it. You say, well, what good is that if we just all suffer? The idea is that you suffer in order to help that other member in his or her suffering. And you lighten their load. We can lighten the load of missionaries by writing to them. We can lighten the load of those who are going through grief by calling them on the phone, praying with them, encouraging them, strengthening them. Paul says, strengthen those who have fallen down. And so that's the way we help, and that's the way the body functions. You know anything about your white cells? I've never seen any of my white cells, but I read about the white cells in my body, and you've got some too, though you've not seen them. I'm told by doctors that they ramble through the body as if they're going nowhere, just aimlessly. They remind me of a college student who just can't make up his mind as to what his major should be. And that's the way the white cells are, meandering, no special aim, just here we are. But the minute you have a pin prick, they come from all over, and nobody knows who lets them know. You know, they don't have a fax machine and say, everybody get to the hand, we're in trouble. But they come from all over the body. And instantly, there are some of those white cells who immediately take the bacteria and they wrap themselves around the bacteria, and then they detonate and they end up dying, and they give their life to keep poison from entering the body. And if you have enough of those happening, we call it pus. And you see, these white cells, of which I think there are, 50 million whatever. They exist in the body, but the moment they are needed, they are there, willing to lay down their lives. And is not that what the Scripture says we should be willing to do for one another? Even give our lives for the brethren, as one of our brothers did 2,000 years ago on the cross. That's the responsibility of the church, the body functioning. So the Apostle Paul says, there is unity, the baptism of the Spirit. There is diversity. Oh, let's just celebrate our differences. And when you see a weakness, recognize that you have yours too. You have yours too. And then there's interdependence. And the bottom line is that the way I live, the victories and the defeats in my life, and my use of my gifts or my lack of use of giftedness all impacts the body, and it becomes a part of the total picture. I'd like to remind you that the body is so important to Christ, so important to Him, that it is the body for which He died. And as Paul says, the only way to get into it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that happens when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, when we receive Him into our lives. Many different things happen. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We drink from one Spirit. The Spirit baptizes us. We become a part of Christ. We receive a new head. We receive a new name, a new identity, and we, thankfully, are going to spend eternity in a brand new and different place. That's the ministry to which now we have been called as the Moody Church, as part of the total body, as an arm of the body. The great and joyous responsibility of representing Christ, however He's put us together, however He's planted us, for His glory and for His honor. For as the body is not one member but many, so also is Christ. And I say, let it be. Let it be so. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and the answer is yes. We do have a great responsibility, don't we, to the body of Jesus Christ. And isn't it too bad that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, particularly that phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit, has been such a bone of contention and disagreement among Christians? As you can tell from what I've preached, I believe that all Christians are baptized in the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit, and that happens at the point of conversion. But I'd like to stress in these final seconds with you that when the author of Acts began to write, and that of course is Luke, he said, I wrote the former thesis, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Here's my point. The book of Luke in the New Testament is a discussion of all that Jesus did on earth, but that was only the beginning. His body now exists on earth to continue what He did previously. And that's where we come in, members of His body, continuing His work by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded his message, Finding Your Place, the second part of his series on finding where you fit. Tomorrow, join us as Pastor Lutzer helps us in the process of finding our priorities. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you find God's direction for your race of life. This series can help all of us make sure we're plugged in where God wants us to serve. All four messages in the series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about finding where you fit when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.